When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Monday, April 14th of 2025. I am Paul Gallant, and this is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Lots of stuff to dive into on this afternoon's show. First of all, the Astros took 2-3 over the weekend against the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Some good signs at the plate, specifically Friday. I asked for 15 runs. They gave me 14. Didn't think they'd actually do that. Now, the bat's a little bit sus in Saturday's game, and more singles than extra base hits, but we take the 2 out of 3 and move on to the St. Louis Cardinals. Rockets, we found out that they will play either the Memphis Grizzlies or Golden State Warriors, depending on what happens in the 7-8 game in the Western Conference as part of the play-in tournament. That game tips off on Tuesday. And then we got the Masters. I watched the Masters round 4, as I always do on Sunday. Did I watch the whole thing? No. But we started off watching it after a very fun wedding that I went to in Burnie. We went to the hotel bar and we plopped down. We had some really good margaritas. I had eggs Benedict with brisket. Oh my God, it was fantastic. This place called the Kendall, really good place. So we're sitting there, we're watching it, and Rory's just killing everybody really early on. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, and this one might be done. But then Rory just had this very weird round yesterday. He's looking great at certain moments. Then on the 18th hole, he biffs it, which leads to a one-hole playoff with Justin Rose. And then he ultimately wins the Masters. Something I didn't want to happen. I find it fun to randomly root against people for not very good reasons at all. Some of my friends were telling me, though, seeing as I was the only person who was rooting against Rory McIlroy, a lot of people were telling me, you have problems, sir. Multiple people. Some of my friends. And some of the random strangers who were around this bar in Burnie, Texas. They were like, "What? What's your deal, man?" And I was thinking about it, and I'm like, I think I really just don't like Rory McIlroy more so than any of the hypocrisy when it comes to, you know, the bootlicking he's done for the PGA and the shots that he's fired against those who joined the LIV Golf Tour. And then, of course, you know, some of the other weird incidents, like him taking that phone from that guy who was heckling him about the 11th hole of the Masters. I don't know what it is, but I think more than anything, it's just the fact that he's from Northern Ireland and F Northern Ireland, because someone who has Irish ancestry, I just don't like it. That's pretty much it. But Rory's able to get it done yesterday, and it is pretty insane to think of, hey, this is a guy who we all thought was, what, like the best golfer in the world 11 years ago, and he hadn't won a major since. We're talking about a guy in Rory McIlroy who finally he's able to do the old, what's it called again, the Grand Slam. He's got himself a Grand Slam. He's got himself that Masters. And I'm sort of in this weird spot where I wish it had continued, but I respect that the guy was actually able to get it done. And seeing how emotional he was after he won it, made me feel a little bit guilty about just randomly not liking him because the guy's from Northern Ireland. But Rory is your Masters champion. If you watched it, 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Sean, any excitement over Rory McIlroy as the newest member of the Green Jacket Society?
A little bit. I mean, I think it was just nothing really specific about Rory McIlroy, although, you know, him. I didn't know how rare the career Grand Slam was, I guess. I didn't know that Tiger was the last guy, and before him was Jack. I was like, oh, God. And then everyone before that, their picture's in black and white, and you're like, oh, I
guess, yeah, right?
I guess they've been doing this a long time. So that's certainly cool that, I just wasn't aware that only six golfers now, five before yesterday, had achieved the career Grand Slam. But to me, the most compelling part of it was just how he comes up, immediately loses his two-stroke lead on Bryson DeChambeau, yep. Immediately gets it back, looks like he's cruising through the middle as DeChambeau is kind of falling apart. And then Justin Rose keeps getting birdie after birdie in the middle. But you still think, oh, look, oh, got a four-stroke lead. He's going to kind of cruise on through this thing. And just immediately, it's like watching a game and just your team just gives up a 9-0 run in basketball. You're like, oh, my God, now it's back to being a game. And that's really the most compelling part is that Roy McIlroy blew the Masters and then won it like 30 minutes later.
Yeah, I think that definitely added to the enjoyment side of it. I mean, it was close. And you were in this weird spot where, okay, going into yesterday's final round, you're like, wait a second, am I rooting for Bryson DeChambeau? Like, am I really going all the way in with this image rehabilitation? And then you got Patrick Reed, who's like sneaking up the leaderboard, and all of a sudden you're thinking, wait, do I really want to root against Rory so much that I want Patrick Reed, of all people, to win, like the most unliked golfer that there is? For the chaos side of it, I was thinking that. Same thing with Bryson. But Justin Rose, who had a great first round, and we talked about how well he was doing on Friday, like he hangs in there. They go back and forth for the one hole. And then Rory's the guy. So it was fun. Really enjoyed it. Good for Rory McIlroy. You got to say he's one of the best golfers ever if you got the Grand Slam, just based off of what Sean and I were talking about a moment ago. Not many people have done it.
Yeah.
He's one of the best golfers.
I don't want to throw in there top six because there's only six guys that have done this. Probably a little bit more nuanced than that, because this is something I also didn't know. Like you said, he was the best golfer. He was kind of like next up.
You're supposed to be the guy.
Once Tiger started falling off after what happened. And I guess in my head, he had way more, not even way more, just a few more major wins than he had. He has five now.
Yeah.
He has a career Grand Slam and five. That's elite efficiency. That
100%.
He boom, 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 got the Grand Slam, won one extra. I forgot if it was a PGA or a U.S. Open. He won one extra, and he has five career major wins, but one of each.
Yeah, and you know, craziest to think about too with this drought. I mean, he's a young guy, right?
He's 35.
Yeah,
I was surprised when they said that. I was like, I thought he was at least pushing 40.
Because he's felt like he's been around forever. And of course, okay, well, yeah, when he first comes on the scene, everyone's thinking, "Ooh, could this be a potential Tiger Woods kind of guy?" And look, I mean, a lot of career left. I'm assuming 15 to 20 years or so left in the career. Hopefully, he doesn't have the same health issues that Tiger Woods does that keeps him from playing, and also keeps us from maybe rooting for him to choke in, you know, golf matches in the future. Because he's from Northern Ireland. I mean, only I'm doing that. But it is one of those things where you look at him and you're like, oh, yeah, he's going to win some more.
They put him on the cover of the Tiger Woods video game.
Yep.
That's
yep.
How big he was.
Yeah. And then you just go that long without winning. I was trying to think of this, and you can answer this, 713-780-3776 to call into text in. Someone who, whether we're talking about an individual athlete or we're talking about a team, somebody who everyone knows is one of the best in the sport, and just goes on a drought like that. Like, it's insane that for pretty much the entirety of my time hosting a radio show, because I started doing it on a daily basis in March of 2014 when I was doing it with Brian Straw over at the Texas flagship. I'm pretty sure that when Rory won in 14,
yeah,
like that was probably like a major last in 14. Like, I probably had just started doing daily radio.
Yeah, it was like that summer.
And he hasn't won. He hasn't won since. So, like, who else is on this front? I mean, going through a drought like that for such a long time, I mean, I guess you could maybe have said the Patriots and the this long period of time between them winning the Super Bowl 04-05 and then the 14 Super Bowl 15 against the Seahawks that they won. Like
that's a 10 years?
Yeah.
And a lot of close misses. Obviously the two Super Bowl losses, the what was it? What 06 against the yeah. Colts. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all good. But I mean, he's back on top now, and to get this out of the way, I mean, that's got to feel great. It really must be, you know, like some of the dry spells I go on in the dating scene. You know, once you're finally back in the cockpit, if you will, like once you're back, well, hang on, poor choice of words there. Once you're back in the driver's seat, there we go.
Okay.
Once you're back in the golf, the golf cart driver's seat. If you, oh my God, that's terrible. You got to feel great. So I imagine he's going to be the favorite for the next couple of them. Everyone was saying leading up to this Masters 2, and we talked about it on the week, like every single golf legend was like, yep, he's going to win it this year. This is going to be the year for him. And then he ended up doing it. But I mean, he really made it interesting.
I mean,
he really made it interesting.
Again, as we're talking about how it seems improbable that he went a decade without winning.
Yeah.
More or less, he went a decade
but
without winning.
Then you see him miss these putts.
Yeah, and then you're like, how's this guy ever won anything?
Right.
This guy's just blowing it left and right. And so, yeah, that just adds to it. And then, obviously, you see, like, the walk through the crowd that he has to do to get to the Jim Nance interview.
Yeah.
Where he's just, I mean, I don't know if he was crying, but clearly emotional.
Oh, he was definitely crying.
Yeah. And, yeah, and Jim Nance just laying out for 5 minutes.
Oh, my gosh, yes. But again, this is Jim's event. And
oh, yeah. And we only have 11 more of these.
Only 11 more for him. That's true. That's true. So he finally gets to see Rory win. He lays it on thick because that's a guy who appreciates the PGA more than he appreciates maybe golf as a whole. So he ultimately gets it. I did feel guilty being as hard rooting against him leading up to him actually winning. I'm not going to lie. I was like, damn, I've been a total a-hole today.
Because you were probably rooting for like three different people over the course of the day.
I was just rooting for everybody.
Yeah,
everybody else.
Anyone else.
And that's all I want. And then he wins it. And I'm like, oh, man, am I an a-hole? Yes. But I mean, that was my first thought, was a feeling of guilt because he clearly appreciates what he's done so much. So I'm sure there's other athletes out there that are like that. For you guys, 713-780-3776 to call, to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, where you at with the Astros confidence-wise after they took 2-3 against the Angels over the weekend? The offense did show up, especially on Friday. Well, not so much on Saturday. And we got some really impressive pitching performances along the way. So where are you at 1-5 when it comes to the Astros and your confidence in them going forward? We'll discuss. That's the Paul Gallant Show with Sean Mapes behind the glass. The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
John Granata here with Yanni Damaris from Damaris Barbecue. I'm going to tell you this. I had the ribeye steak. I'm telling you, for the price, your ribeye steak is as good as it gets.
We have the best ribeye steak in town with a baked potato and a salad.
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy to do. You spice it up really well.
We do. We season it up good, and we have a secret marinade that we've basted it with right at the end of cooking it.
Damaris Barbecue, two locations. One's on 610 and 18th Street. The other's at Shepherd, just north of West Alabama. Or you can order ahead at Damaris.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Paid for by Action Matters. Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textingterms.us. Texting enrolls you for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
Attention all current and former firefighters, including civilian and military firefighters. If you or someone you love was exposed to chemical-based firefighting foam, or AFFF, and were diagnosed with cancers such as bladder, kidney, prostate, testicular, and pancreatic cancer, you may be entitled to significant compensation. Text now to see if you qualify. Chemical-based firefighting foam, or AFFF, has been used for decades to fight fires because it's highly effective at extinguishing petroleum and jet fuel fires. But studies have shown that chemicals used to make AFFF are highly toxic to humans. The Centers for Disease Control and the American Cancer Society have reported that these chemicals may be linked to various cancers. If you or someone you love was exposed to chemical-based firefighting foam, even if it was during military training, text now as you may be entitled to significant compensation. Don't wait. Time is limited. Text CASE to 323232 to see if you qualify. Text CASE to 323232. CASE to 323232.
Houston, we have major news. The Chevron Championship is our major, and it's back April 24th to the 27th. This isn't just another tournament. It's a celebration of fans, community, and the spirit of golf. Together, we make this event truly special. Come be part of the energy, the excitement, and the legacy of the Chevron Championship. Tickets on sale now at thechevronchampionship.com. This is your major, Houston. Don't miss it. We'll see you April 24th through the 27th, thechevronchampionship.com.
Hi, this is Harold Gunn.
And this is Bill Olson. Texas Outdoor News is the longest-running, most award-winning outdoor radio show in the state for a lot of good reasons.
We bring you the latest news and information about hunting and fishing across our great state and beyond.
And our guests are who's who from industry, government, and the field.
Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Join us Saturday mornings at 6, Sunday at 7 on ESPN 97.5.
Guys, prom season is here. Suit up in style with Suit Mart, your prom headquarters. Get a complete tuxedo package for just $159.99 or choose from our fashion tuxedo collection. Our expert sales team will help you find the perfect fit with on-site alterations available. Look sharp, feel confident, only at Suit Mart. For more info, head to suitmart.com. That's suitmart.com. Suit Mart. Style. Fit. Value.
Stand by, cue announcer.
The Del Olalea Show, weekday mornings from 10 to noon. You're listening to the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Rory McIlroy won the Masters. And we were talking about established greats, whether they be individuals or teams in their respective sports that have gone a while without winning. I mean, Rory McIlroy was in his Dallas Cowboys era, not having won. Cowboys are probably the longest, you know? Because a couple brought up on the text line by Eric the driver in terms of teams that have won a lot, individuals who have won a lot, but ultimately they were able to figure it out and end that drought. The Celtics had a long run. That's right. The Celtics were like from 86 when they beat the Rockets, 86, 87, all the way to, or 85, 86, I forget.
85, 86.
85, 86, all the way to when you hear Kevin Garnett, anything is possible. Patriots, it was a bit of a run. Steelers, it was from the 70s until you finally, 05. Right, 05.
Wow.
And then, yeah, I mean, it was because they had the four that they had,
yeah.
And then they've had two this side of the century. So it was a while for them.
Yeah. I guess because they went to one, right?
And they lost Super Bowl 30 to the Cowboys.
Yeah, I guess in my head, I just kind of gave that to both teams. But yeah, that's... It's great. I didn't think
of the Cowboys being capable of winning a Super Bowl. That was before you were born.
Yeah,
John.
Just mentally.
It was months before you were born.
I was thinking in the moment, it's a little John Elway-ish. Because, and it's less of the drought. It's more of the accomplishment of like finally getting their career grand slam. Like he had to wait 10 years to get the career grand slam. They showed a graphic of how many attempts essentially it took each one of the guys who've gotten the career grand slam to do it, and I think three of them were one of them was two, and then maybe one of them was like three. So like they all got him pretty quick. No one had to suffer through. I mean, this is his 11th start at the Masters, and he finally, since winning the third leg of the grand slam. So I kind of liken that to John Elway, just because it's like he finally got one.
Right.
But it's
this
not.
One's for John.
Yeah, it's not really a drought, though. I guess the drought of, like, making the Super Bowl, maybe.
Because they. Well, Elway and the Broncos made it several times. They just got. No one got their ass kicked in the Super Bowl more than John Elway did. And I used to jokingly hold this against him because growing up a Patriots fan, John Elway used to bully the Patriots. And I'm sure he did that to a lot of other teams. But in the AFC, John Elway was like, the guy. The problem was, yeah, they get to the Super Bowl and they
lose to an NFC team.
Yeah, the NFC just kept on winning every single year for the longest time until John Elway was the guy to end it. I think it was like honestly, you know, we talk about droughts, like the AFC versus the NFC in Super Bowls, it was a long one. I could be wrong, but I think there was a stretch where until the Broncos won Super Bowl 32, my guess would be that there was at least 10 Super Bowls without an AFC team having won before that. Because we were talking about all those NFC East teams that were winning in the late 80s, early 90s, of course, with the Cowboys ultimately the last ones. They had the 49ers as well. Like,
yeah, the Raiders.
Raiders, that's what I was going to guess. Was over the Eagles in Super Bowl in 1981?
In 84.
84,
against,
okay.
Washington.
Damn, it's impressive.
Marcus Allen was the MVP.
That's where he had the run. If you've never seen that run, the Marcus Allen Super Bowl run is pretty amazing. Anyway, Sean Mays behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. He didn't win a major in 11 years, but he won 19 times in the PGA Tour since his last major. Right, no, we're establishing that. It's more, we know he's good. It was, why the hell can't he win these? And why couldn't he ever get that green jacket? But the problem is, as you saw at the very end, I mean, now and then, he gets a little nervous. And look, it's a tough sport. It was 100% a tough sport. Anyway, another text. RIP. Did Jim Kelly pass away? Jim Kelly in the Super Bowls was getting smoked. Yeah, Jim Kelly did get killed in Super Bowls. Like, absolutely destroyed. But the first one was close.
He's still with us.
That's what I thought. Goodness gracious, Texters. Come on. I can't be killing people on the air, okay? Come on. Anyway, Sean's behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Astros took 2-3 over the weekend against the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, of California, of the United States of America, of North America, formerly of Pangea. Okay, we had to do that every single time. Planet Earth, yada, yada, yada. The Angels are in first place in the American League West, which really goes to show you that, hey, the Astros, even if they're getting off to a slow start, not that big of a deal. But the Astros are now 7-8. They're in fourth place in the American League West. Everyone's ahead of the Sacramento A's, who are having their fair share of issues, like, I don't know, a truck that's driving out to get an injured player that runs out of gasoline, and they had to push the cart the rest of the way. I mean, this is the clown kind of stuff that you would expect from a team that is now called the Athletics and is playing in Sacramento. So you're ahead of that team in the division after a weekend where Friday, the Astros just went off. They beat the absolute hell out of the Angels on Friday night. Yonder Diaz had his first career grand slam. We saw Cam Smith hit his first career home run. And Isak Paredes started a stretch where, okay, we finally are seeing why the Astros brought him into Daikin Park. Because he had three home runs over the weekend. One on Friday, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. And I guess two of these home runs, they're only going to be home runs in Fenway Park or at Daikin Park. That's it. Hell yeah. That's what you bring in a guy like that. You're hoping that he does a little bit more of that. The other games over the weekend, Saturday, three hits. Come on. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? Ryan Gusto actually looked pretty good, though. Four innings pitched, six strikeouts, three earned runs. I mean, you know, considering you're putting him in there because Spencer Arrighetti suffered a freak accident injury where he broke his thumb after a batting practice fly ball hit him in said thumb. I mean, God, what terrible luck. But he looked all right. Sounds like he's going to get another opportunity. Six strikeouts in four innings is pretty good. And then Sunday, when they beat the Angels, Hayden Wesneski was great. He's looked really good thus far. 10 strikeouts yesterday, zero walks over six innings. He did allow three home runs, but you got another Isak Paredes homer. You got six hits, only one extra base. It's a weird spot for the Astros. So you saw a ton of runs on Friday. And to a degree, getting some offensive production this weekend, right? I mean, even if you score one run on three hits on Saturday, you're still talking about a weekend where they score, doing a little math here, 22 runs. Good. Like that's where you should be closer to. Obviously, a huge sample size or a sample size shaker upper on Friday with the 14 runs and stuff. But I feel a little bit better about him. I just need some things to change. Like I'm the ground balls. They are hitting everything into the ground. I don't know if that's part of the approach or if it's bad luck, but to this point just about everything's on the ground, and that's why you see this team just get singles. There's no doubles. There's very rare home runs outside of, you know, on Friday and yesterday with Isak Paredes doing it again. So what's the deal there? So if you're asking me where I'm at from a confidence perspective with the Astros right now, I'm probably on a 1-5 scale. Like I'm still closer to Jonah Hill. Ask me about my wiener. Like I'm not feeling great, but I also look around and I see everyone else in the American League West, and I'm not fretting especially seeing as the Rangers, who everyone was kissing the asses of going into the year, have lost three in a row and are back towards the middle of the pack. So they play the St. Louis Cardinals next, and I'm at about, if I'm doing it right, yeah, I'm like a 2-3, 2-2, 2-1, grinding on coffee and whiskey on the Twitch said 2-2. That's where I'm at. This weekend did have its moments. I would have liked to sweep. I don't respect the Angels. I don't think they're good. The best moment of the weekend was probably that fan on the right field line who stole the ball away from Mike Trout on Saturday.
Love that guy.
I do too. The man looks a little nerdy, you know? Definitely got a nerdy vibe about him. Clearly felt guilty about taking the ball away from Trout. Here's the thing. He did everything he was supposed to there. He was protecting his boy, his child. I can't believe he got moved. Oh, Paul, you're not allowed to interfere with the players. But he didn't. Mike Trout interfered with his watching experience. And if I'm that guy, I'm suing Mike Trout. Why wouldn't you sue Mike Trout? He ruined my game watching experience. He should put on a neck brace right now. Like, after that moment, he was assaulted by Mike Trout. You know, everyone's MVP. Oh, is he an MVP? Look at what he did. He assaulted one of our fans. And then he was guilt-tripping him for having the audacity to try and get the ball as it was coming towards his son's head, like hurtling towards it. If it hit him in the head, his son might have died. So he did exactly what he was supposed to do there. And I think that Mike Trout threw a little temper tantrum afterwards. I think it was very unbecoming. I thought it was very unbecoming of him.
The Moises salute is strong in Mike Trout.
Hey, buddy, you still could have caught it. That guy?
Yeah, that guy caught it. Out-muscled by that guy?
That guy out-muscled
you. That guy
you.
Doing the shrug or
right.
whatever. Or no, he did palms up, that, actually. He did, whoop.
That part was insane. I mean, look at him, and yeah, he felt so guilty afterwards. It was kind of funny. He tried to give it back to him. That was what made me really laugh.
It's like, he's like perfectly cast to be that guy, because he had like the big eyes too. Yeah. So it's like, eyes are just popping out of his head. Sorry.
He's not that a-hole Yankee fan, which was hilarious, in the World Series.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He's not that, but
Andy didn't get kicked out. Like,
they moved into another part of the stadium, and he was getting booed, but I was trying to figure out if the boos were directed at him or if they were directed at Trout, because it should have been directed at Trout. It should have been. Like, Trout was a baby in that moment. Why are you so upset? It's a foul ball, and if you were as athletic as you used to be, you would have caught it. That guy's boxing you out. That guy. I'm Mike Trout. I'm the greatest baseball player ever. I just got boxed out by a guy who looks like he's 5'5", and he's shaped like a basketball. What are we doing? Anyway.
Fan of the series.
Fan of the series. This is the kind of edge that Daikin Park needs again, okay?
Yeah, yeah. Need to be a hostile player.
Yeah. If someone's trying to get a ball that's coming right to you and your family, and you can stand your ground, and... No, Mike Trout's going to try to shame you into not catching the ball. Not on your watch.
He's built for this.
That fan
Hashtag
is built, for,
built
this.
For this.
Hashtag built for this, Mike Trout. Not so much.
Nah, definitely not.
Someone from the 832. Am I the only one that thought that was the impractical Joker guy that robbed Mike Trout? Does he look like the impractical Joker guy?
He just kind of looks like an impractical. It's a little bit of like he's a police sketch of an impractical Joker.
Oh, this is a good one. From the 832. Is Mike Trout an MVP? Yeah, mostly violent player.
Ouch.
That's so true, though. That's so true. He intimidated that fan. From the 832. Looked like young, fat Jonah Hill. Yeah, did. I definitely sense that a little bit. He looked a little dorky. He looked a little dorky.
He did.
But there's nothing. But just because you're a dork doesn't mean a baseball player can assault you like Mike Trout did.
And he's dorky. He out-muscled a 3-4-time MVP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's the dork now?
What does that say about
Mike?
What does that say about Mike Trout? Confidence meter, a couple texts in. Someone says 2.5 out of 5. The offense has been historically bad. I have confidence in the pitching staff. The pitching has been shoving. Some of the numbers from the pitching side of things, looking really, really good. Another texter says, give that fan a season-long gift card to El Tiempo Margaritas. I mean, that would be what I would want.
It's like $500,000.
That would be, I know, really. That's a lot.
Just give him a Diamond Club membership.
But if he's bringing the boy, like you got to be careful with those things. Just one of those, you are on your ass.
Yeah. his kid will drive him home.
The 8-year-old kid's going to drive dad home. This is real degen behavior. Anyway, Sean Mapes by the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call to text. Rory McIlroy, your Masters champion for the first time in his career, if you want to weigh in on that. Also, the Astros took 2 of 3 from the Cardinals over the weekend. What's your confidence level in them going forward? We'll actually give you some of the impressive things the Astros have done to open up the season on the other side. Really impressive statistics in some categories that they're putting together. But there's, of course, that one pesky, elusive one. You'll hear both of those next. Stay put.
John and Lance, weekday mornings from 7 to 10.
God, we should just put all the dumb people in a... Just put them in one state. And just
well, somebody
I'm
got
tired
it.
Of these dummies.
What
I kept using it because I thought it was a skin irritation.
You could get diarrhea. Oh, yeah. What is diarrhea? What, when you poop soup. Honestly.
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Rory McIlroy, your Masters champion. The Rockets are going to play in the first round of the playoffs. The winner of tomorrow night's game between the Memphis Grizzlies and the Golden State Warriors. So that could potentially be on the horizon. And the Astros took 2 of 3 over the weekend against the Angels. They're in St. Louis for 3, starting tonight with Framber Valdez on the hill. Chandler Rome put together a piece for The Athletic. Paul, why do you always bring up Chandler Rome articles? You know, all his stats that he brings up, they're bad, they're negative, and he hates everyone, and he hates the Astros, and he hates me. No. He does a good job covering the team, okay? He put together one of the iconic types of articles that you will see on the internet these days. It's a list. The Astros have been defined by 15 numbers over these 15 games. Nice. How's the pitch per plate appearance thing going? Because remember last year, the Astros had the fewest in baseball? Well, the Astros are seeing 3.92 pitches per plate appearance this year, as opposed to 3.65 last year. They've already walked 60 times in 15 games. Definitely a lot better than it was last year. Not good. Christian Walker, he's swinging at everything. He's hitting, slashing 164, 281, 236. His 31% strikeout rate is higher than anything he's posted ever in his career. His first walk came after 47 at-bats. It's been rough for Christian Walker. And I keep on seeing the meme, welcome back, Jose Abreu. Guys, don't be insulting to Christian Walker. Even if the results are similar to Jose Abreu, don't be insulting to Christian Walker. He's at least been crushing the ball sometimes. He's also been crushing the air, but he's at least made solid contact.
Yeah, he's on all the top, whatever, most unlucky players in baseball, where it's like their expected batting average versus their actual batting average. He's like always on that list, which is not good.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. It's not good.
Not good.
I'd prefer him not to be on that list, but it is better than being Jose Abreu.
Yes.
Slightly.
Yes.
Not that much better, though.
Limited sample size. Little,
yeah. Yeah. He'll start catching some breaks, and then he'll be good. But
We hope.
Yeah. I would have hoped he already done it by now.
We'll keep waiting. 15 numbers to define the 15 games into the year, 7-8 Houston Astros. Jeremy Peña's getting a lot of line drives. Last year, he was grounding out a lot. This year, 32.5% line drive rate. Hell yeah, dude. Launch angle, let's go. He ain't grounded out anymore. Now, he's not necessarily getting hits, but Buckeyes, line drives. That's what baseball is all about these days. That's why they call me Baseball Paul. You're welcome for that insight. Hunter Brown, he's throwing 97.3 miles per hour with his four-seam fastball. He's thrown 5 fastballs at or above 99 miles per hour. He, among major leaguers who are starters, only four guys are throwing a harder fastball than him. He had seven pitches that were 99 or above his first three seasons, and yeah, he had five like against the Mets in one game, I think. It's been very impressive to see what he's doing. Is he going to be able to keep this up all year long? I don't know, but his fastball is up by basically a mile and a half in one off season. Pretty impressive. The Astros struggles on the plate. 15 numbers to describe that. 15 games into the year, Houston Astros. They are grounding the ball 46.6% of the time. So when they're hitting the ball, it's almost always on the ground. What is this, small ball? What are we doing here? Oh, we play hit-and-run baseball. We the Houston Astros. No, start banging trash cans again. F that. No team has seen more sinkers than the Houston Astros, which might lend itself to the old ground ball rate. Astros pitchers are really good by the numbers. The Astros have 166 strikeouts to this point and are getting a 29.9% whiff rate. Both are the best in baseball. That is surprising. We thought that they had the chance to be good. Do you think that they would be this good 15 games into the year? Doubtful. I did not think that. They can't throw anybody out. I miss Martin Maldonado. Not that he could throw anyone out either, but at least I could say he's a defensive mastermind, even though I didn't really understand what I meant when I was saying that. But when people try to steal bases against the Astros, they are 18 for 19. Oof, that's not great. That's not great. One last number. I'll leave you with this. The Astros are $4,913,522 under the first luxury tax threshold. So they still could theoretically add somebody if they wanted, huh? Huh? Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. While we're talking baseball, I was bummed out to see this. And the World Baseball Classic, I think it's going to be here in Houston.
Yeah, 2026, so next year.
Right, and we actually get U.S. playing here in Houston, which is dope. U.S.-Mexico, we're going to have some fun games. Maybe some brouhahas a la United States-Canada and the four nations in the NHL All-Star Weekend.
Do we get Canada, too? Who's in our group?
I think
it's semi-geographic.
I think that they are, but this is the bad news before we get to talking about that group. Aaron Judge is the captain of the United States. So can I not root for the United States now?
Yeah.
Not
my captain.
Not my America. Like I don't want Aaron Judge the captain of the Team USA.
Oof, Canada didn't make – oh, no, they're in Group A. Never mind.
World
– getting ready to roast Canada. Yeah, USA is in the group with Mexico, Italy, Great Britain, and Brazil.
How do Italy and Great Britain have teams? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of players
of
in
Italian
Major
descent,
League Baseball
yes.
that are probably like, hey, yeah, like Spencer Arrighetti.
And the Italian team does have a lot of guys like that.
Right. Like, oh, I'm from New York, but I identify as Italian. Oh. The
same thing with the Team Israel, I think. They just have a lot of guys that are Jewish.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay. But where are these limeys coming from? They got British people?
I don't know.
Like, who's English?
I remember their jerseys last time were hilarious.
They're awful.
Because
they're
like just Times New Roman font.
Yeah,
like,
pretty
just,
much.
They're bland and terrible, and I don't think I knew a single player on their team. So even with like stretching the limits of who gets to play for what team, you know, you just get to play for ancestral teams, which you'd assume there's a lot of guys with British backgrounds. Couldn't make Team USA that would play for Great Britain. Even then, I was like, I don't know who any of these guys are.
Yep, same. Same on that front.
So it should be fun.
March 5th through March 17th?
Yeah.
Next year in Houston.
And they get the quarterfinals. I'm looking at the little
Let's
graphic
go.
Right now. So, yeah.
It'll be there, Miami, Tokyo, and San Juan, Puerto Rico. So Aaron Judge, the first member to be named to Team USA, and he is also the captain, even though he's never won anything in his life.
Is there an Astro that could be on Team USA?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Not anymore. If he, like Bregman or Tucker would have been it.
Brown? Hunter Brown?
Hunter,
maybe?
You know what? That's a good one.
Hunter Brown.
Hunter Brown.
I'm just like going to Josh Hader, maybe.
I don't know about Hader, but Hunter Brown.
Christian Walker.
Hunter Brown, definitely.
Wait, is Christian Walker?
Not Christian Walker, no. I'm not so sure about that one either.
He can play his way out. No, I mean, there's probably like well, 10 better first basemen.
Yeah, he's going to have to do a lot of playing to get there. Why does Aaron Judge have to be the captain? You know, it kind of ruins it. If you're rooting for Team USA and there's a Yankee who's the captain, I mean, that does pit, I would imagine, if they're small-minded and petty people like me who are rooting against Rory McIlroy just because his parents had sex in Northern Ireland and that's where he was born. If you're petty like me, then like, would you not root for Team USA in the World Baseball Classic with a Yankee on it? Because I've asked this question before. You know, who would I root for if the New York Yankees were playing the communist government of China or Vladimir Putin? And I'm like, I'm not sure who I'd root for, like in the Yankees against those two teams.
Is it under
if there's
like
a terrorist organization? I would root for the Yankees. I'll say that. But if we're talking about like if we're talking about governments that like we may be, don't see eye to eye with, like I don't know.
Would
I don't know.
Would Aaron Judge and the Yankees playing Vladimir Putin and the Russians? Would it be played under the Putin hockey rules? If you've seen those highlights,
he
scores 9 goals in a game.
No one wants
60
to touch
years
him.
Old. Yeah.
No one wants to touch him. It is funny. It would be pretty awesome just to go out there and like, if anyone touches me, bye.
It
good luck.
It would be the power trip of the city. Like, I get why North Korea gets down the way they do, because if I'm Kim Jong-un, I'm like, hell yeah, dude. This is awesome. Everyone thinks I hit all hole-in-ones one time.
Yeah. Sean Bates by the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. The Rockets will play either the Memphis Grizzlies or Golden State Warriors in the first round of the playoffs. It entirely depends on what happens in Tuesday's play-in game. The question that I have, are you still scared of this boogeyman? We'll discuss. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Houston Rockets will play either the Golden State Warriors or the Memphis Grizzlies. What happens entirely depends on what goes down tomorrow night when those two teams play one another. It's a safe assumption that the Warriors are going to win that game. It's a safe assumption. I understand that the Grizzlies have Ja Morant and that this isn't the Warriors team of old, but I'm looking at this Memphis team that just fired its head coach not too long ago with a bit of a side eye. I don't really take them seriously. So I do think the Warriors are going to win. And I guess the question is now, are we at a point where, as a Houston Rocket fan, you can look at the Golden State Warriors and have little to no fear? Are we there yet? Obviously, things have happened. Whether it's 27 missed threes, the very many series that James Harden's Rockets went up against those Golden State Warriors, which always ended in an L, I know that that's got to be weighing heavily in the back of your mind. You know that Steph Curry can go off at any moment, even if he wasn't the last time that the Rockets played the Warriors, where he was held to just 3 points. And Jimmy Butler's complaining afterwards about the officiating. And I'm sure Steve Kerr probably would have, too, if they gave him a microphone to get sanctimonious on. One of the things that I'm wondering is just, where are you now as a Rockets fan or someone who just follows the Rockets when it comes to their matchup against that Golden State team? I mean, the Rockets should win that series, right? Or are you constantly going to be thinking about the past? Are you going to be looking at Golden State, thinking to yourself, well, they have Steph, and they got Draymond, and even if it's a different version of Draymond, I still am nervous about those jerseys, and specifically one of the greatest basketball players ever in Steph. That is really what would concern me. But the odds of Steph Curry, this is how I feel right now. I could end up being wrong.
Careful.
I feel like I'm actually trying to talk myself into being concerned by these Warriors. But, Sean, I feel the idea of Steph Curry going off four games in a series against a Rockets team, I don't see it happening. I think that's what's going to have to happen. I don't see the Warriors really winning without Steph playing out of his mind.
Yeah, if we get that matchup, Curry will have – it will have to be mostly a carry job from Curry. There might be one game, you know, game three or four, where it's kind of all the others – because that happens in a playoff series yeah. where the star doesn't have a good game, but it's a home crowd, gives them energy, and you're like, oh, my God, Gary Payton just sent us home? Gary Payton the second? My main worry, beyond Steph, which, like, they just have the best offensive player in the series. It's not even close with Steph. It's Draymond. It's just Draymond Green. And it's less like he will actually have a positive effect for the Warriors. And it's more of just, I don't want to deal with this headache. Like, I already know we're going to start two shows with, like, can you believe what Draymond Green, the Bush League stuff he was doing to Alperen Şengün. So it's
just.
He
had it just a week ago.
Yeah, it's just. It's a dread, I would say. And you add in the history, the battle scars that I have when I look at that jersey and that court. And then you throw in, not only do they have the best offensive player in the series in Steph Curry, not only do they have Draymond Green, which will be a pain to deal with, then you also have Jimmy Butler out there too. You have playoff Jimmy. It's just like, there's just so many killers on that lineup, in that lineup. It really, it's only those three guys, but that's enough. And you look at the Rockets and you feel good about the kind of sum of their parts, but individually, you're not going in with like, yeah, they got Jalen Green. Or they got Steph Curry, but we got Jalen Green.
Right. It really, I have no idea what to think about any of these Houston Rockets
players.
It's
going to be the first
playoffs.
Pass.
This is their first one. And it's not even like they had a play-in tournament or anything last year, you know? We're just looking at this Rockets team, and they are straight playoff virgins, which does lend itself to inexperience, fumbling around, being awkward, you know? It does lend itself to that. I'm just saying the truth. I think it's going to be Golden State. They do have to beat Memphis. I don't think it's impossible for Memphis to win.
No.
But I do think it's going to be Golden State. And I'm not as concerned about Golden State as I would be in years past, even though there's a healthy amount of respect. I just feel like this time around, this is the Rockets' year. Against this Golden State team, they could finally put the boogeyman to bed now that they all have gray hair, you know? Although
that helps.
Does Steph have any salt and pepper? I know Draymond's got a lot of white now in the beard.
Yeah, no.
Looks
that
like Gandalf out there.
Not that.
I am Gandalf. I am Draymond the White.
That's LeBron, really.
Yeah.
That's fair. But it is 100% the scars of the fan base. Because if you think about the players on the team, none of the players were there.
None of them.
Not even Jeff Green.
Not even Jason Tate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff Green, that's like probably the closest
that's
one.
That's the closest one. I think he was on the team the next year in the bubble. I mean, Steven Adams has his own history with the Golden State Warriors, being part of those Thunder teams, famously getting kicked directly in the nuts by Draymond Green in, what was that, 2016?
See, the thing with Draymond is it's happened so many times.
Yeah.
When are we talking about
Whichever time that specifically happened. I think it was in that awesome 2016 series that those two teams played. But it really is the – I don't want to say like the worst case scenario, but the worst case scenario in the mindset of most Rockets fans that I know, where they're just – it's less about the specific X's and O's matchup because they do have the bodies to throw – at Steph and at Jimmy to make them at least have to work for it and make
right.
it a hard, long series for those guys who will not have a rest advantage in any way. They're going to have to play Tuesday, probably balls to the walls or pretty close to that. Just like yesterday, they had to play balls to the walls to lose in overtime to the Clippers to get sent down to the seventh seed. So they are going to be an older team, one of the older teams in the league, coming in with less rest than a young team, but I'm also like not really thrilled about how the Rockets finished the season. Like, I get
they didn't like the last three games where they're not really trying.
I just would have liked a little bit better of an effort on Sunday. They played mostly everybody on Sunday. It's just it didn't look great. So hopefully, Russ, game one in a playoff series, they come in with a little bit more energy. Also, I think the Nuggets had stuff to play for where the Rockets didn't.
Correct.
So that's a little bit of it. But I think that the inexperience gap and the fact that it's specifically the Golden State Warriors, that's where most of my dread is coming from.
And I imagine most people are there too. And this is, again, not me disrespecting the Warriors and trying to create bulletin board material
careful.
For them.
They're gonna clip this.
This is just not
I hope they do clip.
This is just not that team. It's not that team. They're not that team. They're not.
They're 24-8 since the Jimmy Butler trade.
Okay. But it's the stupid March April dynamic of
the
NBA.
That is true. And they went 23-8 and they're still the seventh seed. So that also speaks to there's not really a team that's like an easy mark in this year's playoffs, at least the top seven seeds, assuming that Golden State wins. If Memphis does win, then whew. It's still not easy, but you dodged a real bullet because the Grizzlies haven't beaten like a real playoff team. They have beaten a real playoff team, but they haven't beaten a real playoff team since like the All-Star break. The best team that they've beaten is the Detroit Pistons, who solid, but they also have like 43 wins and would be in the play-in if they're in the Western Conference.
Right. They're fun, but they're not serious.
Yeah, and so that's what Memphis is hanging their hat on. They beat the Heat, who are a 10 seed in the East, so they have beaten technically teams that are still alive, but they don't have any like, oh my god, they just beat the Nuggets or anything.
Right, exactly. Sean Mapes behind the glass, 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Rockets will play either the Grizzlies or the Warriors, depending on what goes down on Tuesday night. I think it'll be the Warriors. I would rather it be the Grizzlies, but I do think the Rockets match up pretty well against this specific Warriors team, who has less than they've had in the past. And I am really curious to see defensively what they would try to do to keep Steph Curry looking like he did literally just a week ago from yesterday when they held him to 3 points, which was insane. 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.